And so this young woman talked to Shirley about those life values. And when we look in Psalm 128, it's a very short psalm, but it talks about those very same life values: family, faith, and also work. You know, work in our society, in our culture, everybody's trying to get away from work. They want to be independently wealthy so they can sit on a beach in Tahiti somewhere and let somebody to feed them, I guess, bananas dipped in chocolate. I don't know what goes on at those beaches there, but actually the Bible teaches us that the real core values in our life, things that really have meaning, are our faith, our family, and our work, that which we invest our day in throughout our lifetime. So I want you to listen as I read to you Psalms 128, verses 1 down through 6. And I want you to listen for these values, and then we're going to look at them as we go through the scriptures. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Let's ask God's blessing. Father in heaven, I pray that you be with us as we look into this short psalm, as we draw from it the truths that you have for us this time, in the year 2017, these applicable truths to us. I pray that you'd help us to see them and apply them and understand them, that we might be a people who lives our faith and draws near to our family and works our work, all to your honor and your glory. We pray for your Spirit to help us to really see how these are the genuine values of life. In Christ's name I pray, amen. As we start off in our text, we see that a genuine relationship with God is emphasized in this psalm. Only 6 verses long. It's not a long psalm. It's not like God is going to go ahead and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and rebuild and stretch out and expand this. He's going to give it to us right at the spot. Look with me at the very first verse. He says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way." He's going to kick it off with us understanding that when we start talking about the real central values of life, it starts with faith. Because all that may transpire in our lives, even faith and work, are all touched by, even family and our work are all touched by our faith. In fact, it's actually shaped by our faith. Our daily faith strengthens and guides in our family. If faith is really a central part of our home, you're going to see it shape our home and develop our home and make our home what it should be to the glory of God. Now, it takes both a husband and wife who want to make that happen. But faith will make a stronger home. Same thing with your job, your work. Your faith affects how you work. If you're a person of genuine faith, you realize that when you get up and go to work, you're going to do that job to the glory of God with His enabling, with His insight, with His guidance. It affects your job. So God starts out in this psalm talking to us about a genuine relationship with Him, because it is the key to the other values. Not only verse 1, but listen to verse 4 as well. He says, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." What's that mean to be blessed? He's talking to you and I about being happy, improved, better, being blessed by God because of our faith, because it's a central part of who we are. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And in our families today, we need wisdom. There are so many things that pull us in so many directions. We need wisdom to be a good father, to be a good wife, even to be good kids. You need wisdom. And God says, you know what? That begins with a respect for God. Psalms 112, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord." God emphasizes that over and over again in the scriptures. If you want your family to be better, if you want your job to go better, then learn to fear God and expand your wisdom and understanding of life. Let it shape and temper how you live, both in your home and on your job. This morning in the Bible Hour, the 9:45 Sunday School Hour, we're going through the 20 articles of faith that our church adheres to, 20 articles that says what we believe and why we believe it. And the one we studied this morning was civil government. And in that, we looked at a number of verses that talked about how we should respect the authority over us. And we talked about how some of the big problems that are going on in our culture and our society today is simply because they no longer follow the biblical teaching of respecting the authority that is over you. And we even talked about law enforcement. Mike is studying to be, he's a sheriff, and he's advancing through that, all of that. And so if Mike, with his full uniform on and the hat, I don't know if you wear a cap or a broad brim cap, the cap thing. So cap and all that. If he says to me, if I'm walking through Virgin's and he says to me, "Hey, stop," what does the Bible say I should do? I should honor and respect that authority. And I should stop. Now what if I'm having a bad day? You know, what if I'm just in a grouchy mood? What if Sandra Jo gave me a real hard time at breakfast that morning? Should I turn around and curse the policeman out and run as fast as I can away from him? No, the Bible says to honor the authority over me. Because you know what life lessons have taught me? If I curse that authority out and run away, do you know what he's probably going to do? Chase me down. That's his job. When I was a kid, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't grow up around Christian values. And I've seen the police kick the door in, come in. I've seen the police haul people out and all that. And listen, when you push back, they push back harder. So the Bible teaches us a simple principle. Honor the authorities over you. And that begins with God. He says, "Blessed is the man that fears God," that reverence, that honor, that God is God and I am not. And I should respect God. So he starts out and he says, if you want the values of faith, family, and hard work, start with the value of your faith. Fear the Lord. He is our God. In fact, go with me to the New Testament, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look with me at verses 6 down through 10. And I want you to hear the Lord Jesus Christ talk to us about God and himself. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus says, I want you to understand that when you start talking about God, we are talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. God who left heaven above and came and born of a virgin and lived that lifetime so that he could die on the cross for our sins and to pay for our sins. God. So he tells us, he says, start. Start there. If you want to have the values that really matter in life, faith, family, hard work, God says to us, start with that faith. Walk in him. Look again with me at that very first verse of chapter 128, Psalms. He says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his way. I want you to understand it's more than just saying, I believe. He says, walk in it. Walk in it. Because it's easy to say it. It's easy to go ahead and proclaim it. It's easy to say I love you, but now you have to show that it's real, that it's genuine. So God says, yes, you should fear me. Blessed is the man that feareth me. But walk in that faith. Do we all get that? Do we get that? Do we get the difference? The sincere difference between believing it up here and it penetrating our soul and coming out into our walk. God says, if you are a believer, you should walk like a believer. You should know you are a believer. The other day, it was Saturday, I was talking to a young man. I think he actually came to the funeral, and he came in complete camo, head-to-toe camo. So when I shook his hand, I said, hi, thanks for coming, chatting with him a little bit. I said, did you just come from deer hunting? And he looked at me like I was kind of a little crazy. I said, well, you kind of dressed with camo from the top to the bottom. He said, yeah, that's just the way I dress every day. But really, his camo was telling me that he's an outdoorsman, right? Wouldn't you think? I mean, if the guy had come in a song leader's tuxedo, I'd have said, hey, how'd it go at the concert? You know, we know each other by the way we walk and the way we dress and the way we live. And God says to us, if you are a person who fears God, you should walk like a person who fears God. You should walk like a person of faith. It should be a real enough part of who you are that it is evident day to day to him and others around. When you look at verse 5 in Psalm 128, as he builds upon this understanding that genuine faith is the real integral part of life's greatest values. Listen to verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And what he's saying to the believers at that time, those Old Testament believers, he's saying to them, your faith should translate to worship. He's saying, out of Zion and out of Jerusalem, you will be blessed. He's saying, when you come to the tabernacle, when you come to the seat of faith and worship there in Jerusalem and Israel, he says, you are going to be blessed as you come. Because if we're genuine believers, we're going to want to worship. It's going to be a part of who we are. It just comes from the inner part of us that we want to sing and we want to lift up and we want to exalt the name of God. We want to fellowship with others who know and love the Lord. We want to sit under the teaching and preaching of his word. We want to pray corporatively with others. It's worship. So he tells us, he says, these life values, these values, the hub of that value, the center point is our faith. That we fear God, that we walk in the Lord, that we ourselves worship him and he blesses us for that worship. But it's not just, You know, when he's talking to us about the values of life, he's not going to end it there. He really knows that we need not only a relationship with him, but ever since the garden, God said it's not good that man be alone. Something ticks within us that we want to have a companion. We want to have that mate. We want to have that person that we can invest our lives in together. And so we all of a sudden are introduced to the family. And that's why, even as Shirley talked to her niece, and her niece asked her, what's getting you through? How are you facing this? And she said, faith and family. Because her faith was giving her that peace inside, and her family was comforting her, caring for her, walking through this time with her. You see, we want somebody else to be a part of our lives, don't we? We look for that companion. It's like when Mike prayed this morning at the offering, he said, Lord, be with Ray. I can't even imagine, as a newlywed, losing my wife. And I can't imagine losing mine. Or she can't imagine losing me. He starts talking to us about family, that coming together, making a family. Listen to what he says here in that second verse there. He says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of the house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. He's saying to us, as you are blessed and as you're seeking the values of life, understand that family is an integral part of that. We live in such a crazy culture. For some reason, it devalues family. And I am lost sometimes by this mania that we have in these last years of my life, as I watch families just run and run and run and run and run, and they have a hard time ever finding time to come together to be a family. And if you talk to them, they'll say to you, oh, no, we're doing family things. My wife's got this one with that one, and I've got this one and this one, and grandma and grandpa's got this one. Whoa, wait a minute. You're busy, but you are not together as a family. You know, there's something marvelous about coming together and sitting down and having your children around you and talking and visiting and eating your dinner and talking about what they've learned and what you've experienced and talking about how your faith works in your day and sharing as you grow up. And I will toss this out to you, young couples. It goes by so fast. And in the chaos of your rushing, there will come a day when all of a sudden that opportunity will be gone for you to just sit together and be a family. It's interesting how he describes it. He says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. And then the last verse he says, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. He's talking to us about husbands and wives and children and grandchildren. He's saying these are the real values of life. And it's like a vine that grows right around the house. It's tight and it's close. You have to work at that. You have to desire that. It has to be an important part of your life. Proverbs 5:18 says, rejoice with the wife of your youth. Now, he's saying that in the latter years of his life, he's giving advice to you and I as husbands and wives, and he's saying, as you get older, rejoice with that husband or that wife of your youth. Not too long ago, Louis was given a testimony here at the church. He kind of choked up a little bit. And he said, I'm so thankful for my wife. How long have you guys been married? 54 years. 54 years. Whew, they're old. Not really. 54 years. You know, that's hard to imagine when you're a newlywed. 54 years. But you know what? That takes work. And it takes two. One person can't make it happen for two. Both have to make it work. And so this, the faith part, that center, if we're building values, as you're building that value of faith, that faith is what helps you as a husband and wife keep it together through all those stages of life. That's why you have to have that faith. But family, it is valuable. It's precious. It's something that you need to guard, cherish, work at. Not for a year, not for 10 years, for a lifetime. You build that relationship. When you look at this, he talks there in verse 3, not just about the husband and wife, but the kids. And moms and dads, I want you to understand that our kids are a very short-term investment. You really feel like when you're young that they're going to be there forever, but they're not. One day, you know, that little person that lives in your house one day comes to you and says, I'm leaving. And you say, what? Yeah. Man, I've got a job. I'm getting married. I'm moving out. Now, you're supposed to say, good. That's what I was preparing you for. To be a citizen who can support yourself and care for yourself and to raise your own family. Now inside you're thinking, oh, a whole segment of my life has passed. But inside you're also celebrating that my child has grown. And then he gives us the grandkid part in verse 6. And I will tell you as a grandparent, being a grandparent's almost better than being a parent. It's pretty good. You can't get to one without the other. So I'm not telling you to jump any stages. But family is great. You know, when you're raising your children and you come home from work, guys experience maybe this more. I'm not sure because I've never been a gal. But I come to the door and the kids run up and grab my leg. Oh, that's so great when you're a dad. But it's great when you're a granddad too. You know, I pull in the driveway, and when I get out of the truck, then comes the grandboys, or if I'm going to see Josh, the grandgirls. And they come up, and they hug Grandpa. Can it get any better than that? And when I'm done, I can leave. See, it's kind of like getting the very, very best of the dessert. But God tells us, faith. Faith is an integral part of making a strong, healthy family. And it takes both. You young people, start praying now. God, give me that spouse who will love the Lord God Almighty with all their heart, their soul, their strength, just like me. Moms and dads, start praying now for your little tykes. Grandmas and grandpas, start praying now. God, bring them the right spouse that their faith may come together and they can grow together. Start praying now. I started praying for my kids and my grandkids when they were in the womb. Because I know that, boy, if you have an unequally yoked marriage, it's a hard road. So God, please, be with those little tykes. But he doesn't just leave it with faith and family. It's interesting that God talks about work. Work, that thing that everybody seems to want to get away from. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, Pastor, what? You're always working. I love work. I love to work. I admit it. Is it wrong? Now, I am uniquely blessed. Even my children, raising my kids, I could say to my kids, hey, I'm going to go visit so-and-so. Come with me. And I could include my family in my work. I love that. For years and years, Sandra Jo was my secretary. Went to work every day with her. She would fire me. I would fire her. We got to make up. I mean, it was good all the way around. Can't beat that. I like to work. God likes us to work. Listen to what he says. Look at verse 2 again with me. He says, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. He's simply saying to us, that hard work you do, it's what God uses to bless us in our lives. It's what God uses to put that food on our table that we might be able to eat. Work is not a curse word. Work is that which God uses to provide for us all those things we need in our lives. He uses our hard work. But I will tell you, the Bible also says, he that does not work should not eat. It's pretty hard, isn't it? But that's the real crux of the matter. I was talking to one of the young ladies in our church, who's been in our church for many, many years. And I remember when she, you know, she had gotten married, and the marriage was just so bad. She went through such a horrible time. And then he went off. And so she was stuck with kids. She was stuck with no education, no trade. And so she started going to night school. And she told me, we were just talking about this the other day. And she told me, she said, I was going to night school, trying to pay rent, trying to make it all work, trying to feed the kids. And she said, there was a girl in the apartment next to me who said to me, why are you doing that? You don't have to do that. You know the government will pay for your food, your rent, all that stuff. You don't have to go to school. And she said, I can't do that. She said, I don't want that. Not only that, they're not going to give me enough for me to live the way I want to live. And so she went to school nights, raised her little kids, worked hard, got her degree, got a job, bought a house, all as a single mom. Work. God says to us, work is good. He says, work is that which gives you the satisfaction on your table. Work is that which puts clothes on your back. He uses your hard labor to bless you in your life. Mom and dad, teach your kids the value of good hard work. But our faith, the beginning of those values, family, work ethic, so that when you get up and you go to work and you go to do your job, you can say, Lord, help me. Help me to deal with that person on the job that's driving me crazy. Lord, give me patience. He will. Lord, help me to deal with that thing that I can never get it right and the foreman keeps getting on me. God, help me to master that. God will help you. Lord, help me to get that promotion I need so that I can go ahead and have enough food on the table. And I can go ahead and buy a house or to advance. God, help me with that. He will. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're throwing it out the back door as fast as he's helping you bring it in the front, you're going to be broke your whole life. But if you learn to be a good steward of what God helps you to earn and make, then it is amazing what the Lord can do. I was, in fact, just this morning, Gene Fairbrother and I were visiting in my office. And how it came up, I have no idea, but it came up that him and Barb tithing. He told me, he said, Pastor, for years when I was a farmer, we struggled just to pay the bills. And he said, I received Christ as my Savior. Little while later, I learned that, you know what, the Bible calls me to give. And he said, I went ahead and started giving. He said, I'm telling you, I was struggling to even pay the bills. But he said, I don't understand it. I started giving to God, and all of a sudden we could pay our bills. And God provided, and God provided. He says, now, here I am retired. God has provided throughout all my life. It's so true. It is miraculous how the Lord can bless and how He can provide. If we will do the work, if we will maintain our families, if we will walk with Him, worship Him, honor Him, it is amazing what God will do. It all comes back to the beginning. Do you and your spouse and your family have a relationship with God? Do you remember when I read to you out of John 14? Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And then he went on to explain that the Father is in him and he in the Father. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But have you come to Jesus? Yesterday, as I did Shirley's service, and I talked about that need to have faith like she had faith. One of the relatives came up to me after the funeral. Young man's got, I think he told me he's got 5 kids. And I mean, I've pastored here 29 years. Many of that family I've known for many, many, many years. And so when he came up, he shook my hand. He said, Pastor, thanks for the message today. And I looked at him. I said, hey, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing okay. I said, you still being faithful to church? Because he had received Christ years ago, and he lives on the other side of the mountains. And I only see him at funerals. I said, you still serving the Lord? He said, absolutely. He said, I am serving the Lord. I love the Lord. And we talked about that. And he said to me, he says, thank you, Pastor, for having the gospel in the funeral. He said, I know Shirley would have really been pleased with that because that's what I want in my funeral. So here he is, a young man, I think he's probably 35. And he's saying, that's what I want. That's what I want when I die. You and I, is our faith the center of our lives? Is it what shapes our family? Is it what helps us in our work? Are we looking for God to be the center of our lives? I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. And as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart and in your soul, are you a person of genuine faith? You want your family to be well? Then husband and wife, you need to make God the center. You want to do well on your job? You need to let God guide and direct and empower and enable. This morning, as your head is bowed, maybe you need to come to Christ today. Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, we pray for your Holy Spirit to move and to work. Help us to be a people with true, genuine values, faith, family, work. But you at the center. We pray for your Spirit to move and work as we go into this invitation time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.